Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Getaway Friday, July the 9th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And boy, did we have a great time here last night at the station. Legendary pro wrestler, civil rights activist, and union organizer, Thunderbolt Patterson, celebrated his 80th birthday with us yesterday. And we had a tremendous time. And we want to thank the L&P Cake Shop for the tremendous job they did in doing a cake for Thunderbolt, creating one of their works of art with two pictures of Thunderbolt on the cake. We certainly appreciate that. And by the way, if you want to see that cake, it is available pictures online on my Facebook page or Thunderbolt's Facebook page. The cake is out there. So if you want to see it, it is online. Also some pictures of the party. Linda Sims stopped by and some other dignitaries last night. We had phone calls last night from Tony Atlas, pro wrestler, Hall of Famer. It was a great, great time, and a lot of well wishes sent yesterday. Ricky Morton sent in some well wishes, and people through Facebook commenting on Thunderbolt's 80th birthday. And Thunderbolt joins us today here. Thunderbolt, 80 in one day now.
Haven't I? Thank you. Had a very, very, very nice day yesterday.
It was a great 80th birthday.
Yes, it was.
Now, Thunderbolt, we want to give people some stuff away this morning. We have tickets to the Columbus Zoo. We have tickets to Zumbezi Bay, which is the water park. And we have tickets to the wild. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have some trivia this morning. And, of course, it's going to be pro wrestling trivia because Thunderbolt's here. And okay, if you know the answer, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And if you have the right answer, we're going to write your name down, and we're going to do three drawings this morning, one every hour.
All right.
So every hour, we're going to give away something. Thunderbolt, well, actually, we'll have four because Thunderbolt will be with us through one. So we'll do one the 8 o'clock hour, the 9 o'clock hour, the 10 o'clock hour. The pastor will be on at 11, and then we'll come back and do a drawing during the 12 o'clock hour before we go off at 1 today. So we'll see how good you are out there this morning. And I do want to mention again that Charlene's Elderberry Jam is still here, if she'd like to pick that up today before 1 o'clock. And Courtney, I believe, has a pair of tickets here at the station that she can pick up today before 1 o'clock. All right, first trivia question as we kick off this morning. Here it is. Where was Mr. Fuji born? Where was Mr. Fuji born?
Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Fuji, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know where Mr. Fuji was born? 740-383-9944, and you can get in on the competition. Now, Thunderbolt, did you ever have any run-ins with Mr. Fuji?
Oh, yes. Yes, I knew him quite well. But I don't know where he was born.
Now, he was quite the practical joker, I understand.
Yes.
He liked to...
They call it ribs.
Ribs. Yeah, yeah. And he liked to do... sometimes... I don't think people would take a lot of that very well.
Well, no.
But he did.
It was smart. It was smart actions, though, in a playing way, but it wasn't liked.
No, it wasn't liked.
At all.
No. Now, what kind of guy was Mr. Fuji?
Well, he was a good performer. That's all I could, I wasn't around him that much at all.
Yeah, maybe somebody's going to tell us already where Mr. Fuji was born. Let's see here. If somebody's got the answer, go ahead, caller.
Was he born in Japan?
Not in Japan. That's a good guess, though.
Yeah, close.
Close. Not in Japan. Mr. Fuji was not born in Japan, although I believe he was billed as being from Japan.
Right.
But that was not the place of Mr. Fuji's birth. Does anybody know where Mr. Fuji was born? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, Mr. Fuji also became a pretty good manager.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Normally, a lot of the guys, when they get older, they do, you know, if they have that kind of skill, and they do, and he was one of them.
Now, what was it about certain guys that they could make that transition into management?
Well, that's in anything. That's anything that you had to have. The will and a little know-how, and then you had to be wanted to do that too.
Now, Mr. Fuji stayed with it for a long time, but it's also my understanding that after he retired from wrestling, he went down to Tennessee and worked as a ticket taker at a movie theater.
I had no idea.
Because he wanted to be around people, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Guam.
Guam?
Yeah.
Not Guam, but that's a good guess. Mr. Fuji, not born in Guam, not born in Japan. Where was legendary pro wrestler Mr. Fuji born? That's what we want to know. Where was Mr. Fuji born? 740-383-9944. Guys like Mr. Fuji, I don't think he ever was a fan favorite.
No, he was a born heel.
Yeah, yeah. And they called him the Devious One.
The Devious One.
The Devious One. Now, a guy like that, why don't we see guys like him today?
Well, because individuals dealing in the wrestling business, most of them now, doesn't have any concept at all concerning wrestling. I mean, their whole outlet is the movie industry, the feminine industry, as Vince McMahon say, entertainment, and he's tied quite tight with entertainers.
You know, he is. Yeah, he's in there with them.
There it is. You know, it's simple. As regular people, you won't look at it in that manner because it's something. It's just like. It's a game that they play with high dollars, money for taking a sport and twisting it to, in some stages, cartoons, and it's deep, man, and those are the promoters.
They are. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I have a question for Patterson.
Give it to him. He's here.
When he wrestled, was it real wrestling or was it this new fake wrestling?
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think? Now, what do you think was you watched it back then and you watching it now? What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. All over the world, everybody's talking about they need to go back to the old school. Okay, they enjoyed the old school. We're talking about industry, a business, and every business has corruption in it. And wrestling, individuals spend years learning how to wrestle. And when the promoters put together a product that people love and can do, and they put their little stinking thinking into it of changing $4 bills, and you as one of the, you must be a fan, asking a question. You saw and see how they have killed the wrestling business. And if we go a little bit deeper of that, you can see all of the little things that they're doing that, and it clearly shows that they don't know what they're doing. And then just like they design a tough man or whatever, look how many individuals got crippled and demeaned. And come on, man. Let's talk business. Let's not put something down or something that an individual have been watching and dealing with for a long time ago, and then the powers of destruction their nose into it and started mistreating people and the fans at most, but you're still paying for it. Come on, it's deep, man.
Hey, caller, do you remember watching Thunderbolt Patterson?
No.
Well,
no?
There you go. Look, now, why did you ask that question?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this WWE.
But see, that's what you should have said, man. Vince McMahon and the individuals that he put in, not only Vince McMahon, but there was others that did not know one thing about wrestling, crippled a lot of people, dismissed up the wrestling business altogether, and then what you come on, how many times have you asked that question? Why you want to bust my bubble? I done what I could do. I done what I do, and you know it. I was good. If I have to say it myself, talk to me, please. It's time for us to come together and act like we all got some sense. Who do you like? You ask that question. Who do you like in wrestling? Do you like anybody?
I don't follow wrestling, but I'd be just curious because the wrestling nowadays is nothing but showboat.
You can see the difference, and then you asked me that question. Were we showboating? Was it the same as it was then?
Well, I hope not.
You know what you saw. You know what you seen. You know the difference. That's when he asked the question. Do you understand me? I'm not trying to be smart or trying to... I'm just telling you the truth. And see, this is something in this world, in this United States, that's going on now. I mean, the conversation should be Vince McMahon and what they're doing now. I mean, you said back then, did you? You didn't even know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you for calling in, okay? And you have a nice day.
And we thank the caller. And again, we do have a trivia question out there this morning. Where was Mr. Fuji born? 740-383-9944. And we don't have one entry yet because nobody's guessed where Mr. Fuji was born. 27 minutes past the hour, and we are going to do a drawing every hour this morning. And you can take your pick, Zumbezi Bay tickets, Columbus Zoo tickets, the Wilds tickets, whichever you would like. And if you get the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Where was Mr. Fuji born? 740-383-9944. But certainly if you look at the wrestling industry, as we look over, well, maybe this is an answer to our question. Let's see if this is an answer. Go ahead, caller.
I'm here in the United States.
He was born in the United States. Give me a state.
What was that?
Yeah, he was born in the United States, but give me a state.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that much. I know it's the United States.
It is the United States. When you give me a state, call back.
Right.
Yeah, he was born in the United States, but I'll give you a hint on this one. When Mr. Fuji was born, this state was not part of the United States. So... figure that out. 740-383-9944. It is part of the United States now, but when Mr. Fuji was born, it was not. So there you go. 740-383-9944. I believe Mr. Fuji was born in 37 or 38.
I don't know how old he was.
Yeah, I think somewhere in that area is where Mr. Fuji was born. So he was born, I guess technically when he was born, he was not born in the United States, but the area that he was born in today is part of the United States. So there you go. Where was Mr. Fuji born? Go ahead, caller.
Puerto Rico.
What's that?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico? No, not Puerto Rico. Mr. Fuji was not born in Puerto Rico. Where was Mr. Fuji born? 740-383-9944. The question is, where was Mr. Fuji born? Now, Thunderbolt, when we look at the wrestling industry, they're clearly, well, maybe this person's got it, by the process of elimination here this morning. Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Was he born in Hawaii?
Hawaii, you got it.
That's it.
That's it. Mr. Fuji was born in Hawaii, ma'am. What's your name? We'll get you in the drawing here.
Brenda Griffiths.
Brenda, you enjoying the show this morning, Brenda?
Yes, I am.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Brenda, for being out there. Bye-bye. Mr. Fuji was born in Hawaii.
Yes, yes. I that's something that I didn't know.
Now, they billed him from Japan.
Japan, yeah.
And in 37, when he was born, Hawaii was not a state yet.
Right.
But I don't know how that all went when Hawaii became a state. But I'm sure they made him a citizen.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Now, here's another question for you so we can get some more people in the drawing. Now, this one is close to Thunderbolt and I. Ox Baker, been on this radio station many times, as well as wrestled here in the Ohio area and all over the world. What's Ox Baker's real name? He was not born Ox Baker. What was Ox Baker's real name? And he was also in a film, Escape from New York. Does anybody know what Ox Baker's real name was? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What was Ox Baker's real name? Do you remember Ox's real name, Thunderbolt?
No.
Yeah. Nobody called him by it.
Right.
They all called him Ox.
And you know, Ox was born 13 miles from my hometown.
In Iowa.
Waterloo, Iowa. He was in Evansdale, Iowa.
And I know you're going there to the museum leaving soon. I hope Ox is part of that museum.
I don't know. I don't know if he was put in or not. You know, I was just put in myself 2 years ago, and I don't know who all is in there.
We certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Was his name Douglas Baker?
Douglas Baker. That was his name. You got it. Is this you again, Brenda?
Yes, it is.
We'll put you in again.
Okay.
You're on it this morning, Brenda.
Right on key.
Thank you. Douglas Baker was his real name. Douglas Baker.
I didn't know that.
All right. We've got Fuji, and we've got... Now, this might be a little more difficult. Well, there were two of them. If you can give me either one, I'll take it as a correct answer. Thunderbolt Patterson's last match was in the 90s on a WCW pay-per-view. And it was a tag team match. Now, give me either one of the people he wrestled that night. Both were legendary guys. So give me either one of Thunderbolt Patterson's last opponents. They were both there that night. I believe the year was 93. So there you go. 740-383-9944. Either one of Thunderbolt Patterson's last opponents. It was a tag team match. Who were they? Do you remember? Now, without saying their names, Thunderbolt, what was that night like?
Excitement. That was the night that I was called to come back. I had been off. I had a group home at juveniles, athletic supporting kids. And that was an honor for me to even be asked to come back to work. It was a surprise, but it was a great night.
Now, at that point in your career, you would have been about 52 years old. Was there any thought given to getting back in the ring at that point?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. I wanted to be a manager, but boom, they cut that off so fast that it didn't even seem like it happened.
They didn't want to deal with that back then. No.
They didn't want to deal with me.
Now, who reached out to you to be a part of that?
Ole Anderson.
Oh, was it Ole Anderson?
Yeah. I mean, every time that I got a work, you know, he reached out to me. He never turned me down, never fired me, because we always drew money.
Now, where was that event held? What?
At the Omni.
Oh, was that at the Omni?
In Atlanta.
at the, in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, Thunderbolt Patterson wrestled his last match in the ring, 1993. It was a tag team match. Tell me who either of the opponents were. There were two. Who were either of the opponents? 740-383-9944. Now, we've got Brenda twice in this competition already this morning, so we got to get some other people in here in the next 26 minutes. Our Brenda's going to pick up on these tickets without too much question this morning. We've learned Ox Baker's real name was Douglas Baker, and Mr. Fuji was born in Hawaii. So we're looking for either of the two opponents that Thunderbolt Patterson wrestled during his last match in 1993. Who were those guys? And both were very well-known gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe somebody's got it out there. Let's see if we've got a right answer coming our way. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Mr. T?
Not Mr. T. No. Thank you. Not Mr. T. What did you make of Mr. T getting in the wrestling business, though?
It was all money. It was all politics and money. That's just all I can say.
I bet he did okay.
Well, he got paid. That's a very deep question, you know. We're going back to that same thing that Mr. McMahon would able to get all of the top stars and, you know, to help out what they were, you know, trying to do, and they done it. Those stars, those big names, help them to keep their ratings up, and the difference was with Ole there in Atlanta and several places around the country that we just had totally wrestlers, individuals. We didn't have any show people, or we didn't have any big stars of this, the big stars of that. We had wrestlers. We didn't need any help from the outside, you know, just like there is no individual that can walk into one other individual's career or whatever they do, job or whatever they do, and do it. They do it for helping to raise their house attendance and try to overdo what they couldn't do, you see what I'm saying? And take all of the credit. Are you following me?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is an interesting question. What is the difference between wrestling in the North and the South?
The fans would have to ask that. See, because, you know, can you really understand me? You know, I mean, North, this is about as far as they let me go. Detroit. I didn't even ever get back home to Iowa. Do you understand? One time. I mean, I figured so many answers that has not been answered. So many questions. Why? So many things. Why? You know, and see, as fans, they don't even pay that any attention because the garbage that they pushing on, what do they say? Well, is wrestling fake? Is wrestling, well, we don't care. You understand what I'm saying? Because they don't know what they're doing. It's all about money.
You know what I don't understand, though, about that fake question, and I've never understood it. Nobody goes to the circus and asks the ringleader, well, is this fake? Nobody goes to a magic show and says, is this fake? Now, you know, because fake is a derogatory term.
Yes, yes.
But you know a magic show, it's a show. It's in the title.
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're buying a ticket.
Right. And see, and that's a very, very good fact there, because all those critics, it's that, is it fake? Is it fake? Because just like if you in the government, anything that you do, if you bring in people that don't know what they're doing and then give people high pay and big money and don't know what they're doing, well, you're in the position of not taking care of your business. And you're in the position of either the people lack what you push at them or take it or leave it. My way or the highway. And it just combines so many corruption things.
Let's see if we got an answer here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, professional wrestling is entertainment, just like pro football.
Yeah, and that's a better answer.
That's sensible. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Because, look at the draft. Look at, they don't pick the ones that play a little bit or ones that mediocre. They try to get the best that they could have. It's a competition. And when you take nothing and try to make something out of it, they don't know sport does that. Well, basketball, football, baseball, you don't take it's very few walk-ons.
I'll give people an analogy here. And it's not a sport, but, you know, this is a radio show.
Right.
Now, I would not like somebody to come in here and go, is that fake? Well, no, it's a show. We're doing a radio show. It's entertainment, just like the caller, very smart man, just called.
Right, absolutely.
It's entertainment. We're here to entertain you. So why would you say fake? Fake means phony. You know, it's certainly not phony, but we are not, like we talked about the term last night, the term that should have been used is predetermined.
Yes.
And that
yes.
would have been better.
Right, right.
But so that fake term is, I tell you what, you don't end up with two artificial hips and aches and pains from fake.
And look what the title, they say, storylines. If you're going to fight me, your storyline just wouldn't work because I know what I do, and I do it very, very well. And any individual, Kirk, Gerald Briscoe, Jack Briscoe, Dory Funk, an individual that don't know what they are doing, there's no way for them to even look good. Do you understand what I'm saying? And nobody with their right mind would take any individual right off the street and try to win something or try to please somebody that's paying their money to see something that they like to see and enjoying a great sport. And the top crust tears it down by shoving on to you just what and whom they want to. Talk to me, please.
Absolutely. Well, we got to get one of these. I'm going to, you know, I tell you, Thunderbolt Patterson wrestled his last match 1993. Now, it was on a pay-per-view televised coast to coast. 1993 was the year in Atlanta, Georgia at the Omni. And it was a tag team match. Just give me... He wrestled two people that night. Now, one of the two of the great bad guys in the history of professional wrestling. Who were these... You can give me one. You don't have to give me both. I'll tell you who the other one was. But give me one of the two. Now, I'll give you some hints here. One was a man known for the claw hold. The claw hold. Who was known for the claw? And the other one was a world champion. World champion. From the biggest... I'll give you this hint. He defeated Bruno Sammartino for that championship. Who were those guys that wrestled Thunderbolt in his last match? There's your two hints. One of them was a world champion who defeated the legendary Bruno Sammartino, and the other one, known for his claw hold. That's what he was known for. 740-383-9944. Now, we've got Brenda in twice already, so somebody needs to get in, because at the end of this hour, we're going to draw for Zumbezi Bay, Columbus Zoo, or Wilds tickets. And if nobody else gets in here, Brenda's going to win by default in the next 17 minutes. She's going to sweep the category here this morning. So we need some other people in, and we're going to do this every hour this morning, by the way. So next hour, we'll restart again with new trivia, and we'll give away another prize at the end of next hour. So somebody get in. Who were those? One of those two guys known for the claw hold, and the other one a world champion who defeated Bruno Sammartino. Who would that have been? 740-383-9944. How did that, who set up that match? How did those guys get involved?
Well, at that time, Ole Anderson and Bill Watts was the bookers. How they came to it, I don't know, because I was had a group home working. I couldn't get no work nowhere, and I got that call.
Tell us about that group home. You've mentioned it, but how did that come to be, and what kind of work did you do there?
Oh, we took high-risk kids. I mean, we worked with DJJ, DHR, DFACS, and we took kids that the court couldn't handle, and we had quite a success over the years.
How do you take a kid who's in that situation, involved in, I don't want to say crime, but certainly on the wrong path, who probably has a chip on their shoulder? How do you deal with them?
Well, you know, everybody wants love. Everybody want to be recognized. Everybody want to be treated right. And individuals have from broken homes or just taken away from their family, nowhere to go. It's rough out there for young people. And we try to put in programs to help them to have some self-esteem. And they know who like them and dislike them. And with the love and attention and teaching, then they will either catch on or they will go. And listen, we cannot do anything or help nobody if it, as a human ourselves, it's God is the only one can change the directions of your mind, your soul, or what you're doing if you, the individual, want to. And people that need help, they know who is trying to help them. Most people and most things is not about helping people. It's about the money. They don't know. If you let anything, anybody do what they want to do, it's all right. You get along with them. But when you tell people the right way and whatever, and they don't want it, you can't do nothing with them. But if they get to know you and trust you and be fair with them, I've seen them, I've had them knock on the door. Here's my baby. I'm married. I'm not in jail. It's just deep, man. Deep when kids have been in just like incarceration, but dropped from place to place to place and given everything. Given a medical, given so many things that you can and cannot do with them, and they spoil them, but they don't care about them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the kids know what they can and can't get away with. See, and all, when they are able to just keep on bouncing from place to place, and people just getting money for sheltering, not teaching or caring. You follow me? We'll go back to the wrestling business now. We're dealing with things like that.
It's an interesting time, an interesting period. Now, we're down to the last 12 minutes here. We got to get one of these guys' names. Now, again, it was Thunderbolt Patterson's last match, and there were two guys. Now, one was known for the claw hold, and the other was a world champion who beat Bruno Sammartino for that world title. Does anybody know who either one of these guys were? If you give me either one, I'll I'll let you in on this. Oh, I do got to mention this morning, by the way, that there is an ice cream social coming up. Carry out is available at the Marion Salem United Methodist Church. It will be on the corner of Marion Edison Road and Salem Road, 1640 Salem Road, in Clarendon, Route 95. It's inside and outside seating available. That'll be this coming Wednesday, July the 14th, 2021, from 5 to 7 p.m. And there will be chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, homemade noodles, baked beans, coleslaw, potato salad, pie, cake, coffee, tea, cold drinks, ice cream, all available for carryout. It's the Ice Cream Social coming up just up the road here, Route 95, July 14th, 2021, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Marion Salem United Methodist Church. Now, I miss events. I'll be at that. That's a nice event. Mm. Now, do things like that go on in your hometown, Thunderbolt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything. You know, the world is almost the same. You know, they have different things, and people are doing different things and trying to do right things, and some of them doing wrong things, but everything happens, and, you know.
Now, it sounds like a good menu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Homemade noodles?
Everything. Everything sounds real good.
Baked beans, coleslaw, potato salad?
You hurt yourself.
Can't go wrong there. Absolutely. Now, Now, we did your valet last night. We did that question. Now, let's see. What is another good question? And we'll get an answer, I'm sure. It's a hard one to find, you know. Is it hard to believe your last match now was, 28 years ago?
No. It's not hard. Time marches on.
Time does march on. That's for certain.
Well, the only thing about that is there's some good stuff in the wrestling business because the fans love wrestling, and they have things set up where when you retire or pushed out or whatever, you can go and make some money from, you know, some pictures and things that you know. But I wasn't even invited to any of them. So it's deep.
Now, here's a guy we talked about last night. Now, this is another trivia question for you. WrestleMania 3, just up the road here in Pontiac, Michigan, was held at the Pontiac Silverdome. Now, in the main event, Hulk Hogan wrestled one of the greats. Who is that man that Hulk Hogan wrestled 1987, and at that time they broke the indoor attendance record, 93,000 people in that building? Who did Hulk Hogan wrestle? That was nationwide pay-per-view. Who did Hulk Hogan wrestle in the main event of WrestleMania 3? Indoor attendance record was broken that day. 93, and that's not wrestling, that's any indoor event. 93,000 people were in attendance to see Hulk Hogan wrestle who? Who was that? 740-383-9944. Now, we won't talk about the other person yet, but Hulk Hogan, to draw, because generally, and I think anybody would agree, that match drew that house.
Yes.
People, what did, when you were around at that time, what did that say to you, that those two guys, that could draw that kind of crowd?
And what year was that?
87.
Okay, now see, I wasn't really around. See, they make it look like I was around, but I was kicked out in 75. You see what I'm saying? I only way that I was around anything at all was Ole gave me a job to call me back. And
maybe this might be the right answer. Go ahead, caller.
Would that be Andre the Giant?
That would be Andre the Giant, the one and only.
Yes,
how you doing out there this morning?
Good. Yourself?
Doing well. You enjoying the show?
Oh, yeah, always.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, you're in to win some tickets here, and we're going to do that in about 7 minutes, so you got a good chance.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The legendary Andre the Giant. Can't go wrong there.
That was the biggest card ever been.
Yeah, it was, and it was really amazing.
Yes, it was.
That attendance was drawn. Now, we are still looking. There is another chance to get in. Thunderbolt Patterson's last match, 1993, he wrestled two guys. Who were they? Just name one of them. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, here's another question for you off what we just talked about. Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 3, 1987, indoor attendance record, 93,000 people. Who was Andre the Giant's manager in that match? Who was Andre the Giant's manager in that match? Does anybody know? He would have been the only other person around the ring besides the referee that night. 740-383-9944. Who was the manager? Let's go ahead with the call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what's that? Ivan Koloff?
Ivan Koloff. Yes, you yes, got it. Ivan Koloff yes. was in there. It was Ivan Koloff and...
Yes. Von Reschke.
Baron Von Reschke. Hey, thank you. We got you in.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yep. Your last match was against Ivan Koloff and Baron Von Reschke.
And who was my partner?
Brad Armstrong.
Brad Armstrong.
Because Bob...
Didn't show.
Didn't show.
Yeah.
Well, do we know why Bob didn't show?
No. I don't.
But he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Whatever.
But Brad stepped right in.
He did step right in.
He did.
Now, tell me about Ivan and the Baron.
It's all in the book. It's all in the book. I mean, it don't get no better. I mean, that Baron had come out of, was it Ohio? I mean, not Ohio, but
Minnesota.
Minnesota, and he was a wrestling machine, you know, and the Bear, the Russian Bear, now that was a unique individual. I mean, was did you see how thick and how strong that individual was? And, you know, he was a man of God. He was a good individual, and he beat the best in the world, the great Bruno Sammartino.
Not many people could say that.
No.
That's a very short list.
Right.
One more question on the table here before we do the drawing. We're going to do it here in a couple minutes. Who was the manager
of Andre the Giant
in WrestleMania 3? 93,000 people, Pontiac Silverdome, right up the road here. Who was Andre's manager when he took on Hulk Hogan? 740-383-9944. In the South, if you wanted to draw a big house like what they did in the Pontiac Silverdome, where was the big venue?
New Orleans. Superdome.
Which they did. You know, we talked about this last night. Muhammad Ali got involved quite a bit in pro wrestling.
Yeah, and the only thing that I know that he went to Japan. I don't know more than how much he was involved in the States. But I do know that he did go to Japan.
And you were fearful at that time.
Oh, yes. I wanted to go. I thought it was going to hurt him. I thought they was going to hurt him. I wanted to go with him, but they didn't let me go.
Now, did you know Muhammad Ali?
I roasted him one time, but no, I didn't know him. I knew of him.
What was it about him?
They came and asked me in Marion, Ohio. We had a match there when they stripped him. Asked me, should they have stripped him? Because he didn't want to go into service. And my question, how do you strip a champion, a real champion? Because he makes a decision on the, you know, that's what he believe in.
Cost him a lot of years.
But see, all those years it cost him, but then they let him go come back. So how do you justify taking down an individual in the prime of his life and then... There was no merits there to keep it. And, you know, how do you know? A few things I don't understand.
Well, that was a...
Government.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because at that time, a lot of people had a split decision on Muhammad Ali. Some people liked him, some people didn't. But by the end of his life, everybody liked him.
So what do you make of that? That's what I'm trying to say. You know, he was a great fighter. He made a decision which so many people thought it was not a quality decision. And he had to pay for the decision that he made. And then, what do you think made him so popular, or the number one, of the world? He's known all over the world. He's honored all over the world. And, I mean, he's the number one attraction of the world. How did that build up to that when it was so wrong? And then it's coming to be so right.
It's an odd thing. You know, we got to do a drawing here before we go to break here. We're going to do a drawing now. Okay. And I tell you, the tickets for this hour, I'm going to pull one out of the bag here. And that way we will know what kind of tickets we're going to give away this hour. And it looks like it's going to be tickets to the Columbus Zoo at this particular point. So tickets to the Columbus Zoo, they go to... Let's see, we'll pick a winner here. Give me a number between 1 and 5, Thunderbolt.
3.
The number 3 on the list this morning is... Looks like Ralph.
Okay.
Ralph wins this morning. So, Ralph, lucky number 3 in here this morning. Now, I said I'd let you choose. Do you want Columbus Zoo, Zumbezi Bay, or the Wild? Ralph, give us a buzz if you're still out there. 740-383-9944. And again, we're going to do this next hour as well. We're going to give away some tickets to Zumbezi Bay, Columbus Zoo, or the Wild. Ralph, you're the big winner here in hour number one. Which pair of tickets would you like? Zumbezi Bay, the Columbus Zoo, or the Wilds? 740-383-9944. And don't forget again, the Ice Cream Social coming up at the Marion Salem United Methodist Church on Wednesday, July the 14th from 5 to 7 p.m. All kinds of good stuff on the menu. Chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, homemade noodles, baked beans, coleslaw, potato salad, pie, cake, coffee, tea, cold drinks, and of course, ice cream. All right, go ahead, caller.
That'd be the Wilds.
The Wilds.
The Wilds.
Ralph, they'll be here for you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Two tickets to the Wilds go to Ralph. We'll be back in 15 minutes with Thunderbolt and another giveaway.
The really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
The 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, commenting on Hillary Clinton.
Do you have, in closing this week, do you have a favorite Hillary Clinton story?
Well, you know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented. And she did a beautiful job with that. But she's always so friendly. And it upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her. And I don't know why it's ended up that way, you know?